Okay. Now, let's take it from the top.
This is the Lowdown Sports Show.
Give me the lowdown.
With Drew.
I just heard your dad might already hate you, and I was like,
yeah.
What, brother? Oh, man.
And BJ.
Yeah, he could be a part of the mascot's entourage and be throwing t-shirts into the crowd.
And it all starts right now.
Welcome into another episode of the Lowdown Sports Show. I'm your host, Drew.
I'm BJ.
And we're here to get the lowdown on all things basketball. That was the first time I did the intro without the pen actually in my hand, like I usually do. I searched for it, couldn't find it in time, just went with it anyway.
You were looking for it, it looked like.
I was. But we're here to get the lowdown on all things basketball.
Welcome to 2024, Drew.
Welcome to 2024, BJ. Back in here for some more lowdown. And got a lot to talk about here today. And some folks have retired here recently, and we want to give them shouts out on their former basketball careers. And also, Draymond apparently might be returning to the fold here pretty soon. The Lakers and Darvin Ham aren't getting along too well. And I want to talk about some of the players we think are prime for a big 2024 in the WNBA. That's what's all on tap here today in today's episode. And before we get into all that shebang, shaboom, shabow, we want to give a shout out to our partners, TeePublic Fanatics and SeatGeek. SeatGeek is a ticket app that takes the confusion out of buying tickets. Use code THELOWDOWN in all caps for $20 off your first order. And before we get on going, we want to let you know that we are also presented by Stathead, and BJ has got a stat of the episode for you.
That's right, Drew. One of the things we'll be talking about here in the show tonight, whenever you may be listening to your podcast, if you're live, one of the players that retired is Ricky Rubio. We'll get into that here in a little bit. But Ricky Rubio, I was able to use the Stathead tool to see what Ricky Rubio was able to do against the Los Angeles Lakers. Don't ask me why with that team. Just did it random. So you can look at what a player or a team did head-to-head against another team, a different player, or you can look at what a player did against the team. Those are all the options you have available to you with the tools at Stathead. Ricky Rubio played 29 games against the Lakers in his career, all in the regular season, averaged just shy of 13 points, 4.5 rebounds per contest, and 9 assists. Had a record of 11-18 against the Lakers in his decade or so career in the NBA. Looking back on it, Drew, his best performance, the highest game score he ever had against LA, was a 31 game score when he scored 33 in a Minnesota Timberwolves win over the Lakers, 119-104, back on March the 30th, 2017, when he was the ripe young age of 26. So that's Ricky Rubio's best performance against Lakers. And then on the flip side, not too long later down the road, he scored a whopping 2 points. In fact, it was, 10 days later? Yeah, it was 10 days later. Exactly. The Lakers lost, or the Lakers won by a point after losing by 15 to the Timberwolves in that contest. Rubio only scored 2 points and had his worst game score of his career against LA with a 1.4. So it's funny. They happen within 10 days of each other, the highest of highs and the lowest of lows.
Yeah.
But that is the stat of the episode. You can go even more in depth with the tools available at your disposal from our friends at Stathead.
Well, there you go. There's our stat of the episode, ladies and gentlemen. BJ's talking about Ricky Rubio. And that's the first thing we are talking about here today. Ricky Rubio recently announced his retirement after the Cavaliers bought him out of his contract. Mm-hmm. He had cited he was going to take a break from the NBA back in, I believe it was September, for mental health concerns. And, you know, obviously it's something enough that, you know, he's had the time to make the decision to go ahead and call it a career after, you, I believe you said that was a decade. Yeah, he started in
12 years.
Right. Yeah, a little over a decade. Had all that 698 games in his career. Ricky Rubio played, started in 603 of them.
Not bad.
698 games, started in 603. Only didn't start in 95 of his games, most of those coming in this last couple of years in Cleveland. But
yeah,
taking a look back at Rubio's career, man, we know him as a dynamic passer and a facilitator in general, if you will. Never. I wasn't going to be so I was actually surprised he had a 30-point game against the Lakers, but every now and then he could pop off for, you know, a 30-point or a high 21, but mostly stayed in the teens, and he was pretty that's what he averaged for his career, 10.8 points a game, just short of, you know, the teens. And, you know, he was mostly known for, you know, his passing, as I said, and he had those years with Kevin Love that we remember him so fondly for. And looking on it, BJ, as I was looking into this, it was only a few years with Kevin Love. And, you know, Ricky Rubio, he spent his first 6 years in the NBA in Minnesota, and only half of them were with K Love. I thought it was longer than that. I felt like Rubio had been in the league longer for whatever reason. Just seems like it was a while. Like him and seemed like him and Kevin Love were doing that for a long, long time, but it wasn't.
It was in your formative years. That was what it was. And, you know, even if it was only a short 3 years, they did a whole lot. I knew that about the time that LeBron was going back to Cleveland, Kevin Love was already a part of that team, if I'm not mistaken. The Timberwolves had already sent him off to Cleveland. So that's why there's only that short little bit of time that Rubio and Love played together. They were hoping that Rubio and Love would be the Jordan and Pippen, or the LeBron and Kyrie that we would see, you know, down the road. But it never truly materialized. Rubio, to his credit, was a really good player, but not, you know, nearly to the level of some of the other point guards that we've had the privilege of seeing here in this era that he played his career in.
Actually, I believe K-Love was the last leg that made it to Cleveland. He played out that season in Minnesota because him and Rubio played through 13-14, and K-Love was an all-star. Mm-hmm. That season, played 77 games, and then popped up on the Heat after LeBron had joined in, I did believe. But nevertheless, they had that time together. Rubio, we know him for that passing ability that he had, and didn't end up necessarily being a journeyman in the NBA. Did bounce around after leaving Minnesota, joined, you know, the Jazz for a couple of seasons. Was in Phoenix for one, went back to Mini for one, and then finished out a couple of seasons in Cleveland, but no more than a couple of seasons anywhere ever since leaving Minnesota. I guess you could call that a journeyman at that point.
That and when you get to his age at that time that he had left Minnesota, you're not going to spend too much time away from, you know, like with a different team, because not too many teams, I should say, want to give a veteran a long-term deal. They have gone down that road before, and it has burned them. So,
right. And Rubio, a talented FIBA player talented playing for Spain over the course of his career. I don't know about if he had any medals during that time. His only accomplishments on the NBA side of things, he only had an all-rookie nod, no all-star appearances. Surprisingly, never led the league in assists either. But let's see. No, I can't find anything on Rubio's medals or not there, but a nice little point guard in his time in the league. Was always pretty consistent for you, was, you know, as we stated about his, you know, his games, it was a starter for the majority of them, only didn't start 95 games his career. Yeah. So he wasn't, you know, back up off the bench or anything like that. Mm-hmm. It was a starter level player all the time.
And a lot of the reason that at least the last couple of years that when he was playing games, he didn't start was because he was recovering, I believe, from a torn ACL, if I'm not mistaken, a couple of years.
Yeah, ago. He had some injuries later in his career. Other than that, before that, he didn't really have any.
Yeah, he was really lucky and healthy relatively for a majority of his career, which is, you know, that's something that you absolutely have to put some extra value in, is the consistency and being able to be in the lineup almost every night.
Oh, yeah. And it's so funny, like the number of seasons that he played in the league. It's, and I've been looking into a couple of people. I watched the Nightcap show with Unc and Ocho, and now it's, you know, Unc and Gil too. And, you know, looking at some of their stuff just out of, you know, intrigue of watching them, like Chad played like 11 years, Gil played about 10, 11 years, and here we are with another player around 10, 11, 12 years. Like, what is with all these players that I'm looking into lately just playing 10 to 12 years in the league? I mean, they're just like a decade, and we're good, and we're going to talk about another player who played about a decade and then called it.
I was going to say, you know, that's what we've seen. You really are talking about being kind of spoiled with LeBron being in year 20 and not really going to you know, look like he's slowing down for the good majority. We've seen only a handful of players like Dirk, Kobe, LeBron, you know, make it that far and make it that many seasons in the NBA. And so it truly, you know, you appreciate them and their longevity, because most of the time, if you're lucky, Drew, you finish out your rookie contract and you get a second one, and then that's about it. There's not too many that will get another contract on top of that and continue playing where they've got multiple, you know, like double digit seasons in the league, as opposed to just, you know, multiple contracts under their belt. So it's for Rubio to be, you know, on a team and you know, play nearly 700 games in his career. That's an average of, you know, for 10 full seasons, almost 70 games, which he played 12 and missed some time with the injuries later in his career. But he was on pace to be, you know, averaging almost 70 games and over 60 starts a season in his career before the injury bug really bit him late.
Pretty solid, though. And the person that reported that news on Rubio about the buyout with Cleveland was Woj, of course. And mm-hmm. He added that if Rubio decided to play pro basketball again, it would be in Spain. Rubio's actually got a note here that he posted on X, Twitter. July 30th was, he said, hello. July 30th was one of the toughest nights of my life. My mind went to a dark place. I kind of knew I was going on that direction, but I've never thought I was under control of the situation. The next day, I decided to stop my professional career. One day, when the time is right, I would love to share my full experience with you all so I can help support others going through similar situations. Until then, I would like to keep it private out of respect for my family and myself, as I'm still working on my mental health, but I'm proud to say I'm doing much better and getting better every day. I wanted to post this message for you today because my NBA career has come to an end. It all started on June of 2009, draft night in New York. What a dream. After playing 12 years in the league with all its ups and downs, I have collected lots of good memories and great relationships. Minnesota, Utah, Phoenix, and Cleveland. Wow. Thank you. Special mention to Cleveland, my last home. I know the way things ended have been tough. I could have never imagined the year would develop this way, but you have an amazing organization with Kobe and JB, who have been extremely respectful and understanding my situation and caring for me as a person. Thank you all for the love and support. Ricky Rubio,
man.
Rubio had $6.1 million left on that contract for 2023, 2024, and $6.4 million for next year after agreeing to a 3-year $18.4 million deal with the Cavs back in July of 2022.
He's going to be missed. I enjoyed watching him ball and playing as him in NBA 2K growing up, and, you know, back in the last decade or so of 2K games. He was fun, and the Timberwolves as a team were fun to try to rebuild and get them to be that powerhouse. So,
oh yeah, you had to make the right my career player to just add on with that big Kevin Love who could stretch the floor, and Rubio to pass you the ball. You needed a guy who could shoot it from deep is what you need.
That's exactly. Right. They needed Anthony Edwards back then, man. That's what I'm saying. I think
they had Kevin Martin back then. So don't make a two guard. Make you a nice small forward and just mix yourself in. There should be a big out there that can play down with Kevin Love, and you're set. You're set. But shouts to Ricky Rubio on a good career. Speaking of good careers, Draymond Green, he's had a pretty good career, and he's going to continue that playing career here pretty soon. Apparently, reports I saw earlier today, Draymond set to return to the Warriors facility, sources say, from Woj. on an indefinite league suspension since December 13th. Draymond's expected to return to the Warriors facility in the coming days. Whatever coming days is, that could be 2, 3, that could be 1, that could be 4. But that's less than a week, I would say. Coming days, less than a week.
It does say that, obviously, the commissioner has the final say on when he will be reinstated, but it is believed that Draymond will have satisfied the league's requirements to return once he is deemed properly ramped up to play, whatever that means. Because, I mean, knowing Draymond, he's been properly ramped up to play ever since the suspension came about. He just wasn't able to use any of the team's facilities.
Right, and he's going to be missing his 11th game tonight, I believe that is, when they play, who's that?
Yeah, Denver, correct. That's
Denver Nuggets.
And then in about an hour, if you're listening live.
Right. So 11 games out for Draymond there. And let's see, how have they been doing without Draymond? I was trying to find it.
They've been kind of inconsistent, Drew.
Ah, schedule results. There we go. I was on the wrong page.
Go back and look at their last 10. I mean, they are 6-4, so give them a little bit of credit for being above 500, kind of weathering the storm. But they for all the talent that they've got, to be under a game under 500 with the possibility of being 2 games, if you can't go in and beat Denver on the road here tonight, which is no easy get. They're outside the playoff picture right now. They have the same, they're basically 1/1000th of a percentage point behind the Lakers for the bubble. It's obviously still early, but Drew, I mean, we're 34 games in after tonight. We're almost to the halfway point of the season, and things just have not been clicking for whatever reason. I hope that Draymond coming back is enough of a help for the Warriors, but I really don't know if it is or not.
Yeah, we'll see. And MJ says he wishes Rubio would have come to Detroit. Well, I mean, you need more than Ricky Rubio out there at this point. But
I was just saying, I mean, if you want somebody to eat up some minutes, I shouldn't say it, but he was talking about he's stepped away from the game due to mental health. Going to Detroit is not going to help his mental health, Drew. I mean, oh my goodness.
And with the Draymond situation, if he's going to help the Warriors or not, what those 6 wins you mentioned, BJ, only a couple of them are against good teams.
Yeah.
Boston OT and won that game back on December 19th and just won against the Magic. But the Magic were depleted, so that's almost like a half a good win. The others were against boo-boo teams, the Blazers twice, the Wizards once. The Nets, who are all right, but they're not probably going to be a playoff team. Yeah. So only good win was Boston, and it took OT to get there. I mean, who knows what Steph had in that game? Here, I mean, honestly, I could take a peek at the box score and see how much Steph had to put up to get you there, to get over the hump there. He had 33. Clay had a good game. He added 24 in there, and Kuminga showed up with 17. Mm-hmm. So Steph didn't have to go superhuman there, but otherwise, they didn't. It's some junk wins mostly. And the good teams they were losing to, lost to the Clippers, lost to the Nuggets the first time, lost to the Heat. And those Heat didn't even have Jimmy Butler. Lost to the Mavs. Those Mavs didn't have Kyrie Irving. Yes, he did. That was the day he came back.
Oh, okay.
That was the game he came back.
I couldn't remember if that was the first game or if he came back on the first of the year.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. I looked at the dates wrong. Kyrie was not there, so
I didn't think so.
An undermanned Miami Heat team and Mavericks team, and they lost to them. Yeah. And they got past the Magic just barely by 6. But and I don't anticipate they beat the Nuggets tonight.
No.
And
schedule does lessen up a little bit after tonight, though, when they get Draymond back at some point. I mean, you're hosting Detroit tomorrow. That's a winnable game. You're hosting Toronto on Sunday. That's certainly a winnable game if Toronto couldn't beat Detroit.
You said it lightens up. Then you got the Pelicans.
Yeah, that's a tough one. But then you're at Chicago.
You can skip on past the Bulls, but then you got the Bucks, who are having some issues but want to win some games. Memphis, who's been hot with Ja back. And then skip the Jazz. Healthy Mavs. Hawks, what's going on? It's kind of a mixed bag stretch, but I mean that's a chance for them if they do get Draymond back. They should be on the winning side of that if they can finally beat the good teams in the mix.
Plus, consider that between the Mavs and the Hawks, they get almost 5 days off with no game in that stretch, so they'll have multiple time, like a lot more time than you normally do, to rest up and get fully healthy for the Hawks game after the Mavs on the 19th. So you're talking about, I mean, in between now and that stretch, you don't have any more than 2 days in between games for the Warriors until they get to that 5 day stretch. So it, you know, not just necessarily the opponents, but you're going to get some time to rest. Draymond will certainly be back by then. There's still obviously a chance to make a run, especially with some of the teams middling around ahead of them in the playoff race. So it's not over for them just yet, but they've got to figure some things out that they really hadn't here as of late.
Well, certainly I think Draymond will help him when he enters back into the fold, because even a homestand hasn't been able to help them out so far, which, yeah. I mean, they're in the middle of what is that, 7-game homestand sit at 1-2 within it, and going against Denver again, probably going to be 1-3 after it. And mm-hmm. then, you know, those days where you don't really have any breaks, it's just really just travel on that 4-game road stand, which is brutal as well. But then they get to come back home, and then you talked about those 5 days. That's after you know they play the Mavericks. They get that little bit of rest, and they stay home for mm-hmm. through the rest of January. So
yeah,
a lot of the time of January they're at home, but when they're on the road, it's bang 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 bang.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so it'll be good to have that extra fresh body for them in there on that road trip. We'll see how it goes for him. We don't know Draymond, but I anticipate. I mean, he can only help. I mean, as long as he's not doing what he was doing before, he can only help. I mean, they can't mm-hmm. really get worse with the guy that is their glue, essentially. Yeah. But continuing on, staying in the Western Conference side of things, speaking of some glue, the Lakers, they probably need some super glue at this point. Gorilla glue, super glue, is there anything stronger so they can hold things together out there? Because there's always something going on with this team out there, and there's always some issues, and it's some disconnect now, apparently, is the word being used between the Lakers and Darvin Ham. And a lot of what I heard about it mainly, and it's just from listening to a podcast early this morning on that side of things, as far as the listening end goes instead of reading, it's the lineup issues. It's the lineup issues. Yeah. I mean, obviously, the Lakers have been losing ever since the inaugural in-season tournament, have not done well, and float around the 500 mark constantly, and had a 110-96 loss to the Miami Heat yesterday. And mm-hmm. LeBron didn't even talk to the reporters on the way out. LeBron had a bad game in that one, had like 16 points, didn't make a three, shot terrible from the field. AD played all right, but the issues, it's something that always persists with these Laker teams ever since Bron and them have been over there. It's always something, but it is literally always something, because when it finally fits, you know, they'll win a championship. So I guess,
yeah,
you know, listen to what they're saying, fix the thing, and you'll win something. You know, get some guys out of there and shift some stuff around. But if you're starting all these quote-unquote defenders and they can't get you any buckets on offense, how's that going to help you? Can't have AD and LeBron carrying the load like that, and especially LeBron in year 21 has been so many times, and him already having a, 26-7-7 year in year 21. Like, why is he playing all these minutes? Why is he this? And we're in January. Mm-hmm. You need this. We need the superhuman play here in 4 months.
Well, you know, the thing about it is Drew, we talked about it when they made their run to the Western Conference Finals, how good they could be coming into this year. And you know, I heard a lot of Laker fans say, you know, Austin Reeves is going to be the one to lead us to title. Austin Reeves has not led the Lakers in scoring at all in any game this year. Where did he come from? Where did he go, Drew?
They're not even starting him anymore. And that's part of some of that disconnect. Austin Reeves is out there giving him some buckets, and he's staying on the bench, and the people starting in front of him are barely getting a handful of points a game, if that.
Yeah.
And here's a quote from this disconnect between the teams. There's currently a deepening disconnect between Darvin Ham and the Lakers locker room. 6 sources with direct knowledge of the situation say, raising questions about the head coach's standing. The people spoke with the Athletic on condition of anonymity so that they could speak freely on the matter. Those sources have described that the disjointedness between the coach and the team is stemmed from the extreme rotation and starting lineup adjustments from Ham, leading to a fluctuating rhythm for several players across the roster, which is totally understandable, man. I mean, it's hard enough to divvy out roles as well, but if you're playing an inconsistent amount of minutes every night, like, how can you go out there and give them stuff? Or if you go out there, you know, you play some minutes, like, oh, I'm kind of bummed about that, you know, expecting to go in later and nothing else happens, you don't get put back in. It's like, oh, dang, why am I sitting here? Is it because I just did that and you're over there thinking that on the bench, you know, or you're frustrated, like, I'm not getting shots when I'm in, blah, 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 this, blah, 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 that, whatever is going on between the players and whatever egos are getting frustrated and all that. But it's always a coach issue, seems. Somebody always gets the finger pointed at. I mean, somebody's a scapegoat for the blame all the time.
Yep.
I mean, one minute.
How many times have we talked about not to be, you know, trying to point the finger right back at LeBron James, but how many times have we talked about there being that disconnect or there being some issue and some butting of heads with a LeBron team and the coach? Because you've got a guy in LeBron who can be a coach. He can be a coach right there on the court and has, you know, does not have to be the center of attention. He will try to come up with the best play, but everybody's egos are so fragile that they can't work together and put their differences aside to try to lead, you know, each other upward to the top. They instead will just butt heads, and it doesn't do anything but bring everybody down.
I mean, these gripes are fair, though. I mean, like, the rotations are inconsistent. The lineups are inconsistent. And I think you've got to switch some things up and put the right people out there with the right units. I mean, they have to do some shuffling, too. I mean, they've got to get the right stack of players in. I mean, you got guys out there that's supposed to be making some threes and ain't making no threes. Three and D people ain't making threes. Yeah. And then a Gabe Vincent that you traded for has, you know, been injured for the majority of this time and hadn't got to utilize him. So you're going to have to probably shift something around, or especially if you do a switch back in the lineup, putting Austin Reeves in the starting unit, take out a Cam Reddish or something and do something like that to shuffle things and reestablish roles, then you're going to have to do some wheeling and dealing it before the deadline.
Yet again. Just listen to this. So ever since they beat the Pacers in Vegas in the in-season tournament championship, they are 3-9. Ooh. Yeah, not good.
It's terrible. It's a 10th starting lineup of the regular season so far. 10th starting lineup of the regular season.
Drew, the last time that there was somebody not named Anthony Davis or LeBron James that led the Lakers in scoring, you've got to go all the way back to November the 29th when they beat the Pistons and D'Angelo Russell was the team's leading scorer with 35. But even still, he's the only other player since November the 8th. They've had three leading scorers all the season, Russell, Davis, James, with the exception of November 8th when Hachimura led the Lakers with 24 points in their 128-94 loss.
Hachimura has had an underwhelming season a bit for these guys.
For what they're wanting him to be? Absolutely.
I mean, I think he did miss some time with an injury as well, but still, I mean, he caught more fire last year than he's really kind of added to the mix this year. But, I mean, this Lakers team, LeBron-led teams have to be built a certain way to be successful. Like, they can find some areas of success when they can get hot. I mean, like the in-season tournament. For example, they had some stuff going, and then, you know, apparently, I mean, most of these lineup changes have come post-in-season tournament. But they have to be built a certain way to be able to be successful. LeBron-led teams do. But once they are successful, they make runs. I mean, they see the finals more times than not. I saw another one of those posts here today, you know, reminding me that, oh, my gosh, for a stretch from 2011 to 2020, LeBron James made 9 out of 10 NBA finals.
It's just
some wild things to kind of think about. We don't often sit back and kind of appreciate some LeBron stuff, but when I saw that again, I was like, dang. This is insane. I was just saying, 2019, and that could have been 11 in a row.
Yeah, but I mean, it was one of those that you think back on at the time. I mean, we were still we were still in college, I think, when this run was still going on. So we talked about it, you know, as part of our college show days mm-hmm. before we started the lowdown. But you know, in the midst of it, it was like, this is never going to end because this is, you know, he's such a great player, and he's got a good enough team around him that we've seen him time in, time out, be consistent and find a way back to the finals. I mean, it father time came for him as it comes for us all, Drew.
Can you imagine if he was like, you know, Bill Russell made that run to the finals many, many times in a row? Can you imagine if LeBron was winning all these, you know, those, you know, like 8 out of 9 trips or something like that?
I mean, there'd be no doubt anymore. There'd
be zero haters, but that'd be insane.
Well, there would be haters, but they wouldn't be just
not near as many.
Yeah, they wouldn't
be nowhere near as many. But anyway, the Lakers, they got to get things figured out, reshuffle this lineup, get things in order. You know, maybe they can catch a rhythm again back with what they have, but it's probably got to happen within the month of January. I'm not sure off the top of my head without checking what the trade deadline is, but it seems to be somewhere around All-Star breakish, I believe, but I don't have an exact date.
February 8th.
February 8th. Okay.
So we've got just over a month from now.
Just over a month from now. So, well, Laker unit, you guys got about two weeks to get it together talking about you in trades for the next 2 to 3, right up to
they already start talking about them in trade talks. They haven't made anything yet because it's still so far away from that.
Yeah. So, get in the gym. Anyway. That's enough of NBA chatter for now. Let's go on into good old BJ's best. How about that? BJ's best.
How about that? The first time of 2024. All right, let's do it. Well, Drew, you know, 1 year ends, another year begins. Here we are. It's the current year of 2024, and well, what better time to look back on the year that was in 2023 than now? I'm not gonna necessarily go full in depth on the year that was. We were here for a lot of it. We talked a lot about our Texas Rangers making the World Series and then winning the whole darn thing. But I'm going to take you to the movie theater. We're going to talk about, at least this list from Metacritic, what the best movies of 2023 were. And
oh God, I'm going to be terrible at this.
I was going to say, did you see any of these? I'm going to go from 10. I'm going to go from 10, although the first two that are not in the top 10, I know you know the names of, and so I'm going to make an exception. I'm going to list them and see if you saw them, okay?
The odds are likely not, but let's go.
Well, hey, the odds are I probably didn't see them either, so let's go. Number 12, Oppenheimer.
Nope.
No, I know what it is,
but I should have.
I know I didn't get to see it either, but that's something.
This year, I probably saw the least amount of movies this year than I have any other year in my life.
I feel like I'm the same way, honestly, Drew. I may not have gone to the movie theater at all once this year. I'm trying to think back. I'm
sorry, I should say 2023. We're both saying this year. It's 2024. We've only been here 4 days now. So,
well, we haven't gone to the movies this year either. But this past year, I don't feel like I went to the movie theater at all. I may have seen a handful of these, but like at home, if anything. I don't think I've gone to the movie theater since.
I need a good solo trip to the theater. I love a good solo trip to the theater. Nice fat soda, big old popcorn bag, watch a good 2-hour movie. Yeah.
And then you're out of there. All right. Number 11, Killers of the Flower Moon. I know you know this one, but
I have. I know a lot of the movies you're saying because, I mean, I read this stuff off. I read some of this off every stinking morning.
Yeah. I always
pop in movie stuff, but no, I have not seen Killers of the Flower Moon.
My mom's been reading the book, and then once she's done with the book, she'll watch the movie. So I may just, like, when she's finished with the book and she turns the movie on, I'll just go in there and see.
I think that's interesting. Like, I don't know what it is about me. Like, I can't do both. So, like, since I've watched Game of Thrones on TV, I don't want to read the books. If I'd have read the books first, I don't know
if I want to watch the TV.
I don't know if I would. I probably would want to watch it because I'd be so interested in the book version. Like, oh, what would this be like on TV?
Yeah,
but you know, I may be doing what those the other people who actually read the books are doing, which is hardcore judging it for the things that, you know, aren't included. But like, what? Why did they do this different? Why? Where is what's her face?
Or whatever, because, you know, because it costs money to do a TV show compared to writing a book. Well, I mean, both cost money, but it costs more money to do some of the grandiose things that you can write in a book and make them come to life on the TV screen. But
yeah.
All right. Number 10 on the list, All of Us Strangers. I've never even heard of this one.
Nope.
Okay. Pretty quick. We can both say no. Yeah. Number 9, 32 Sounds. It's a documentary, so I'm guessing you didn't see it.
Nope.
No, I didn't either.
It's going to be a very chalky segment. I'm sorry.
It says that title suggests this one-of-a-kind film is organized around 32 different sounds and how they evoke different emotions, thoughts, and memories in each person listening and experiencing what the director designed. That's interesting. It might be worth a watch, in all honesty. I just hadn't seen it.
Hmm.
All right. Drew, number 8. I am I'm not French. I'm probably going to butcher this, so apologies ahead of time. Menus Plaisirs, Les Troigros. I can't. I'm Troigros. It's another documentary.
Oh,
it's,
yeah, like, I've seen that. That's my favorite. No.
This is from 93-year-old director Frederick Wiseman. A more than 4-hour immersion in the life of a 3 Michelin star restaurant in central France. Yeah, that's
last thing I'm going to be doing at 93 is directing a freaking movie.
Well, if that's been your whole entire life, I mean, this might be his magnum opus, is his last, you know.
I mean, what else has he got to do, I guess, Joel?
Yeah, that's right. Number 7, The Boy and the Heron. I think it's one of those that's like Castle in the Sky. I don't know, not anime, but the same kind of artistic style. It says, Hayao Miyazaki reemerged with his latest masterpiece following a decade-long retirement and impressed reviewers at its North American premiere. Though it shares a title with a 1937 novel, Heron tells a mostly original story set during World War II when a boy moves to the countryside following a family tragedy. So, interesting. I know you didn't see it, though, Drew.
No. Nope.
Number 6, Saint Omer.
We're chalking it up. Nope. I got 5 more to say nope to.
All right. Well, let's go rapid fire then. The Zone of Interest, number 5.
Nope.
All right. Number 4, De Humani Corpus Fabrica.
Nope.
Number 3, Trink La Quinn.
Nope.
Number 2, Past Lives.
Nope.
And number 1, Our Body, a documentary. Ooh. So, yeah, I'm really surprised. I think that these are not just, you know, big picture releases. This includes obviously documentaries and foreign films that would not have been the highest grossing films of 2023. But you go down the list and you look at what...
And I was like, where the heck was Barbie? We didn't even say Barbie.
I was going to say, it's not up there in terms of the Metascore. This is Metacritic's Metascore list of the best movies of 2023. Mm-hmm. I'm looking down the list, going past 15, 16. I'm trying to find another one that you'd recognize. You got to go to 18, which is Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse with a universal acclaim Metascore of 86.
We gotta get you checking these lists. We gotta find better lists than that. Lists that do justice.
Well, let's see. I was
Barbie looking was for... probably the biggest movie of 2023. I'm not gonna lie to you.
Yeah,
it beat Oppenheimer on some stuff.
Yeah,
if I remember reading that correctly.
Absolutely. Yeah, and it says in fact, you know what? I'm gonna see if I can find a better list. So, yeah, the top of a different list from Variety is Barbie. Then you go the Holdovers. I don't know if you saw that one.
Nope.
May, December. It's on Netflix.
Nope. I got 7 more to say nope to. All right.
Maestro.
Nope.
Okay. Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. There's another commonality. I want to see that one. Fair Play.
Nope.
Rustin.
Nope.
All right, the Super Mario Brothers movie. I saw that one actually.
Nope.
Oh, wow. You missed out. That was a good one. The Killer.
Nope.
And last but not least, Saltburn.
Oh, oh, no.
No. Mm.
Nope.
How did I know?
Nope.
How did I know?
Nope.
Well, it sounds like you got some catching up to do then. We gotta get you some movies to watch. The Super Mario Brothers movie, I think you'd like it. I actually was really tickled by that.
I would probably like that. I would probably like Oppenheimer. I would probably like a handful of movies that have come out in the year 2023. But I did not watch it. The only one that released, like, it technically released on Netflix in 2023, and I watched that with my mom and stepdad at Thanksgiving, was Extraction 2 with Chris Hemsworth. I watched that. That was the last movie, I believe.
I haven't seen that one.
The Extraction movies are good. Watch those on Netflix.
Yeah. Okay.
It's hard enough for me to pick a TV show these days. Oh my God, a movie.
I was just saying, and that's the thing is that for me, like, there were the you know, I know there were some big movies last year, but to me, it wasn't a can't miss movie year, like where you have to go see it in the movie theater.
I mean, I guess one that you, I mean, Oppenheimer maybe would be one, but like, it's not one that immediately caught my interest. Like, I gotta go see it. Like, I gotta go watch that. I gotta watch
it. And I think I will watch it.
There were things that came out in 2023 that were, you know, need to go watch things, but they weren't movies. It was like, you know, the Bill Russell documentary on Netflix, a quarterback documentary on Netflix, you know, a bunch of things that have popped up on streaming platforms and just aren't movies.
And that's the thing is, if it's popping up on a streaming platform, you're not going to go see it in the movie theater. So that's another thing is, like, there wasn't a big name movie that I felt like I needed to go to movie theater. I was watching, when I watched some stuff at the house, it was here.
See, that's all it's going to get me. I have to go watch something is a, you know, big name, you know, trendy movie anyway, because most of the things that are, you know, some new things just slide right to streaming anyway.
Yeah.
And I've seen so little movies over, you know, most of the course of my life that I could just go to any streaming platform and find something that could interest me that I want to watch probably.
And that's the thing is that at that point, it doesn't matter how old it is, because if you haven't seen it, you haven't seen it. Exactly. So you might find yourself watching a movie from like 15 years ago or something that you never knew about, but it's a new movie to you, but it's not new in the sense. So,
right.
Maybe 2024 will have some better offerings, but I tell you, I think I saw one Marvel movie last year, and that's rare for me. You know how we've talked about Marvel before on the show.
That's because of the strike. That's what I mean.
I think that was a big part of it.
Yeah, things got pushed back. I don't know about the movie universe, but we definitely get some good TV shows here in 2024.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be one to watch for us. So 2024 is here, and that's a way to say goodbye to the movies of 2023. Yep. For BJ's best tonight.
There you go. Good BJ's best. And man, I gotta be talking about these 2024 TV shows that are coming. House of the Dragon season 2, The Ones Who Live from the Walking Dead universe, season 2 of The Walking Dead, Daryl Dixon. It's gonna be season 2 is gonna be The Book of Carol. I'm gonna be busy from February through summer. Just it's all gonna go bang, bang, bang.
So if we don't do shows, it's because you're watching TV. Is that what I'm hearing?
I'm really busy. And we locked
joking,
in.
Joking.
Good thing. All of those shows drop on Sundays. Sundays. So I am off from everything. I won't be missing it. You can bet your sweet bippy, I'll be in a chair watching the TV either on AMC or HBO at 8 p.m. on Sundays from February through July.
You got your whole year set. I have no idea what I'm going to be watching. If anything, maybe the back of my eyelids. I'll tell you.
Normally, that is not the case, but we just happen to have new shows that I happen to be part of these universes. Like, oh, the spinoffs are having new seasons. Oh, how awesome!
The spinoffs are having spinoffs.
Yes, indeed. And man, we need to spin our way into telling you about some cool things. And those cool things, ladies and gentlemen, are our Merchant Tee Public. Of course, there's no sale. I know. If you missed it on last time, I tried to tell you last time. So if you're missing sale on you, ladies and gentlemen, but get These on us, these TeePublic items. Get whatever you want over there. There's no sale, but you can always get the gift of free shipping, ladies and gentlemen. Get the gift of free shipping. If you want that fix of sports and coffee to prepare you for the work day ahead, I need a new mug. I actually broke my handle about it on it. I told BJ about it last week. We've got you covered, and they've got me covered with a new Lowdown mug. Listen to an episode of the Lowdown fresh, bright and early in the morning while sipping from a Lowdown mug. You can even pull up YouTube on TV and watch us in the morning as well if you have enough time to do that in the morning, getting ready. But if not, listen to us on the podcast platforms, getting ready for your morning with that cup full of coffee. Shop at the link in our description and start your day with the Lowdown.
Yeah, you just, the first half of the show already tonight, Drew, has covered me for the commute into work tomorrow. But I also know that I'm going to need to get myself a new Lowdown mug as well for my early morning shifts. I'm also looking at some new gear to start the new year. And, well, if you're a fan of, well, I'm sorry, Drew, it wasn't meant to be for the Texas Longhorns, but you got to give some congratulations to the Washington Huskies and the Michigan Wolverines. They'll be squaring off on Monday night in Houston for the national championship. You can get your official college football playoff merchandise over at our friends at Fanatics. They've got hats, shirts, all kinds of gear for the Huskies and the Wolverine fans. If you're H-Town bound, or if you want to get a cool little hat that says Rose Bowl Champions with the Michigan Block M and the Rose logo on it, that's available for you. You've got all kinds of stuff, NFL playoffs. This is the final week of the regular season. We're going to get some division champions this weekend. Maybe those Dallas Cowboys, maybe the Philadelphia Eagles, who knows? It's crazy to think about what all can happen, but you know Fanatics has got you covered with the playoff merch. And you know, it's a new year. Why don't you get yourself something new in honor to celebrate? Maybe some cold weather gear. Maybe you can find yourself a hardwood classic as well. You look at all kinds of things that are available at Fanatics. They've got a sale going on right now. You can get up 25% off site-wide only for another 2.5 hours by using the promo code SLOPE. Plus, you can get additional savings on select items. It's good through the end of the night, January 4th, 2024 at 11:59 Eastern. Plus, Fanatics MVP gives you more ways to save with FanCash. You get exclusive weekly deals not available for other peasants like yours truly. So shop with Fanatics, fanatics.com, officially licensed everything. And now, as we do once and every single week on this show, it's time to crack open the big old mind of Drew Ivory and find out what's inside, what's on Drew's mind here on the show.
I take offense to that big comment, okay?
Well, not big in a bad way. I mean, you've got a lot of info in there. You got a lot of smarts. So it's a big mind. Not a big head, big mind. Big brain.
Fine. Okay. Okay. All right. He tried to pedal on through that one. It's all right. Well, we'll let you squeak those chains on your bicycle on your way out of here. Sounds like Debo's bike from Friday. Bye-bye. As BJ pedals on away here out of that situation. We're here with what's on Drew's mind, and guys, it's as simple as this. DSU conference basketball. That begins for me on day after this podcast drops, 2 days after this recording time. I'll actually technically be on the road back from some games. The games will be over by now this time, recording time. Okay. But in less than 48 hours from this recording time, I will be calling some basketball conference action. BJ and my teams, I don't have this yet, but I'm going to have it. I'm saving it because I want to say it on the broadcast. Okay. Well, I'll check for it's been a while, and I don't know exactly how long yet until tomorrow morning that my two teams have gone into conference play, both with double digit wins on the year. So okay. 10-6 for the men and 12-4 for the women heading into conference play. 12 games in conference each, I believe. So both have that opportunity to get to 20 games pop. The women have gotten 20 wins the last three or four years and had a program record wins last year with 29 of them. We won't get that unless we win the whole darn thing, which I don't even know if we can still get it. We win the whole darn thing because I got to math the wins and the number. But we can both get 20 wins in conference because that is there, and that is there for the taking. One cool thing that is there for the taking by next weekend, BJ, is getting more wins in conference or getting more wins on the year than we did all last season for the men.
Wow.
And a 12-win season last year. Mm-hmm. I believe they were 12-17. If we win on Saturday and then do work Friday and Saturday next weekend, 13 wins, already got more wins than last season. Look at that. And mainly what's on Drew's mind here today about DSU hoops, it's not all the stats and all the intricacies and all that blah-blah-blah that I'll be giving during the game. It's just trying to appreciate what I'm doing, man. I mean, I did a little bit of that earlier today when I got home because I was at the entire practice today for the men. Normally, mm-hmm. I'm there for about half of it. But I was there for the entire practice for them. I haven't been at a practice in over a month, haven't called a game for them in over a month now because, you know, just of the scheduling situation I've been handed. But it was good to be back and, you know, get the greetings from the players again, talk to them and, you know, have a conversation with Coach, you know, off the, you know, the recording before. And, you know, obviously the pregame and during and, you know, just all the moments in between, you know, getting the, you know, the first bus ride to the first college game, college basketball game, college road basketball game tomorrow, hit the road on Friday at 5:00. And not just trying to stay within it all, man, just in the moment of things. I definitely was got caught up before and wasn't doing that. And I know, like, on my morning show in the mornings, all last week, I was talking about reflecting on the year 2023. And I'm slowly kind of doing that bit by bit. I was telling everybody else to do it, you know, before the year was over, before they got started with 2024, so they could get ready, so they could get their reflecting out of the way. Now it's my turn to get some in. But just trying to appreciate the journey as going through it. And, you know, obviously going to have some fun along the way. But you know, I mentioned this to you, I believe, before. I appreciate the college side so much more.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, they appreciate, you know, us so much more. BJ, you unfortunately haven't got to experience this yet, and I can't wait until you do. But, you know, you think, you know, some things are good with high school sometimes. Just wait until you get in college for the people that, you know, really appreciate it, you know, more. And
I was just saying, you know, haven't done a couple fill-in.
I mean, the fill-ins are, you know, that, but having a team
is
different at the college level. Like, we know, we've known in the past what it was in high school, but college is, you know, it's just
another
level of love and respect at that level.
Absolutely.
So just trying to make sure I take all that in and enjoy that and prepare for all this. I'm in a mixture, to be honest, of prepared and not prepared. You know, like I'm ready to go. I will be able to do every game that comes my way. It'll be exciting. It'll be tenacious. I hope we win every single freaking one of them. Mm-hmm. And we're gonna every stinking body that listens is gonna have fun when I'm doing a game. But I feel like there's just not enough time to illustrate, you know, half the things that I could possibly look up throughout the duration of the week. I know there's no time in high school because they're so buttoned down tight. When one game ends for the JV, they put 15 minutes on the clock and then they're starting the next game.
Yeah.
Which shortens down which cuts the pregame to like no time at all. My high school pregames are 10 minutes. My basketball pregames for college are 15 minutes. So it's not a whole lot of time. It's half the time I've been getting for football. So it's a lot of squishing in. And, you know, this game is faster, obviously, than football, especially college basketball. So, I mean, if I'm not taking timeouts, which I got to take the timeout so these ads can run, then, I mean, I've only got a minute or 30 seconds to give you what I want to give you. And if something important just happened on the court, what's the point of giving you that when I need to talk about what just happened? If this girl just went on a 10-0 run on the court, we got to talk about this 10-0 run on the court. She's on fire.
Absolutely.
Who cares about, you know, whatever blippity blip did last week for the first time?
It's good to have it, but oftentimes, you know, it's one of those things. It's like, I'd rather be overprepared and not get to everything that I found than be underprepared and feel like you're having to just kind of eat up time and, you know, feeling, you know, like you're not doing a good job as a broadcaster, you know, where you're basically, you know, that you're kind of, you know, laid in on a bit thick, for lack of better phrasing. And mm-hmm. and the audience probably can tell, as if we're mm-hmm. being honest as well. Mm-hmm. So that's why you and I will both, you know, try to get as many great things that we can find during our preparation for broadcast during the week, and then, you know, we'll go from there as the chips may fall.
Yeah, and with doing all this solo, it's kind of, you almost get caught up and you forget to give some nugget that you have, like, even more often than you would if you had a color analyst there just engaging in conversation, just because you mm-hmm. you got to work the whole thing. You got to be the color, you got to be the play-by-play, and, you know, you're watching the game the whole time. You can't miss a thing because you're the one that's got to tell everything that's going on within it. Yeah. But yeah, man, that's what's on my mind. College basketball season, you know. In full swing, college conference season. All the colleges are getting in conference season, but it's really, yeah. You know, things are getting real. I'm getting to travel with them. It's been, golly, what's it been now? 3 months? No. 2 full months? No, more than 2 months. Over 2 months since I've traveled with the team, any team here. So since football season, so I hadn't got to go on the road in a while. So, and I love going on the road too. So that's good. So
awesome,
it'll be good
man.
To get out of the house and out in town, but. That's what's on my mind. Looking forward to it beginning tomorrow to hit the road at 5 and start the conference year.
I was going to say, I've got my first of 6. They came to us with 6 games for basketball season, and then potentially any playoff games from there. So we'll see what happens with that on for Friday for both of us having a game. I know y'all are probably more likely to get the victory than we are, though, if I'm being honest. So.
Yeah, I mean, we got a good shot on Saturday to get some dubs. I thought I had originally had a high school game today, but there was a schedule issue, and it's apparently mm-hmm. tomorrow. So okay. I don't get to do it at all. Somebody else gets to do it in our station. So
well, that'd be fun.
Pop on that. It does push my 100th game back, though, that I was going to have. Funny enough, BJ, if it had worked out to where that high school game was actually today, then my 100th game would have been on your birthday.
Oh, wow.
But it now will not.
Oh, okay. Well,
it will now be the 2 days following on a high school girls game that they might actually win, maybe.
I've lost track. I used to have, in fact, if you give me 1 second, I used to have a track. Now, this was before this last season started, if I'm not mistaken, of how many games that I have. So let's see here.
I wish I had taken a picture of my tracker. I wrote it down like a couple of weekends ago on a sticky note and added up where I was. I wish I had taken a picture of it.
I was just saying, I'm well over 100 high school events going back to 2019. Let's see. If I do some quick math here, it would be, I think the next, so tomorrow night it's going to be 125 going back to 2019. It is pretty milestone because they've had 64 baseball, 57 football, or actually 58, and then 2 softball.
I'll be caught up to you by the end of this basketball season.
Well, I was going to say, you'll be caught up, but I've got tomorrow and then 5 more at least basketball, and then I go into another baseball season. So you'll only be caught up for a moment. Now you might catch up when we get to baseball season. But
oh yeah, you'll get a little bit ahead probably. Well, maybe you'll get ahead for a little while because I get a break after basketball. I won't, mysteriously enough and disappointingly enough, I won't be doing high school or college baseball up here.
Really?
I'll unfortunately be doing amateur baseball.
Oh, okay. Well, that not necessarily the worst thing, but
I didn't want to. I wanted to do the college, though. I mean,
no, I understand that completely.
But I mean, that's a whole another story to get on.
That's another show, another time, right?
That's a click the in stream button conversation.
Well, let's not do that necessarily.
Yeah,
just yet.
Let's
somebody else that clicked the end stream button and decided to move on is Tiffany Hayes is retiring from WNBA action.
Hitting the end career button is what she's hitting and calling it one. And I mentioned earlier about, you know, another one of those players that had a, you know, 10 to 12 year career. Hers was right there at 11 years, you know, just having that last year in mm-hmm. Connecticut this past season. Darn, I deleted the wrong one.
I was gonna say, she said you can still catch me overseas, but last season with the Connecticut Sun was my last season.
Right. I mean, she's going to keep going over there, getting a little bit mm-hmm. of an overseas bag, but her professional WNBA career has done mm-hmm. a pretty steady player, BJ. I mean, aside from her rookie season, she was always getting, you know, 11 to 17 points a game in that range of mm-hmm. fluctuation, you know, never dropping below, always been able to be a scorer throughout her career, can shoot it from outside, you know, as well. And, I mean, with Atlanta, every year of her career but the last one in Connecticut was a one-time mm-hmm. All-Star. But Tiffany Hayes, a real steady player and always an impact player wherever she was at and wherever she was playing.
Absolutely. Averaged 13.5 points, 3 rebounds, and 2.5 assists across her 317 career WNBA games. Reached the postseason 6 times, including most recently this past year with the Sun, making it to the WNBA semifinals.
Saw the WNBA finals, though, too, with the Atlanta Dream, mm-hmm. With Angel McCautry and company when they fell in their trip. I believe they got swept. I believe Angel for her career she's been in 2 or 3 WNBA finals and hadn't won a single game in her final trips. So that's bad Angel McCautry news. Sorry, didn't mean to do that. Yeah. Anyway, no. But you talked about her 317 games for Hayes, 74 of them. So always a level of a player in the W. And I mean, you talk about the career average numbers. When you look at the WNBA, only like the perennial top-notch scorers were 20-plus for their career.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the best of the best. Like you're talking about, you know, for example, today's you know, scorers like Stewie, Asia, mm-hmm. Jewel Lloyd, Arike, and players like that. Diana Taurasi, perennial scorers in mm-hmm. the 20-plus ranges. But like most of your, you'd say, really good and above average WNBA players are floating in that Tiffany Hayes scoring range of that, you know, those teens, those high teens in the league, which is still really good. I mean, if I'm not mistaken, Tamika Catchings was one of those players, obviously a dominant defensive force, but she wasn't a 20-point per game scorer for her career. She averaged 16, so.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but she was a steady scorer, like throughout her career. You know, those high teens, and only got lower in those final years as she was aging out. But you know, like I said, you know, just I mean, 13. That's still really solid. That's a consistent WNBA player, and obviously one that was here for a decade and contributed for a long time. But yeah, a second round pick. 14th overall in the 2012 draft to the Dream out of UConn.
Another almost 12 seasons.
Yeah, and I feel I'm not sure what the hopes are for making the Hall of Fame, but I'll have to see if – what was it? I believe Cheryl Ford was one of the ones in the running for this year. Cheryl Ford – and someone like Cheryl can slip into the Naismith Hall of Fame. I think that might be in Tiffany Hayes' future. Not a whole lot of accolades alongside it. There's no championship. There's only one All-Star appearance. So maybe not. Probably not, because there's not a lot to put on her back in that scenario. But
it's one of those things that it always kind of seems like it comes down to the class in any given year. And if not her first year, still could be eligible and make it in at some point. Because I think that as we get further along, the members that are, you know, ended up voting for the Hall of Fame and part of these committees that decide based on the different pools of candidates they have to choose from,
mm-hmm.
I think that they're going to look at more than just, you know, kind of the counting stats and like the all-star appearances and championships and everything like that. I think you're going to obviously get the best of the best that are going to be no doubt surefire candidates that make it in based on those things. But there's more, I think there's going to be more appreciation for those that had really good careers that didn't necessarily get to that next step. I mean, if Dan Marino is a Hall of Famer in the NFL, he never made it, won a Super Bowl. You look at other, you know, notable, I think what T-Mac, Tracy McGrady, he's in the Hall of Fame.
Obviously, I know, like, you don't have to have a championship necessarily, yeah. But yeah, you know, I may have jumped the gun on Hall of Fame for Hayes just in regards to, you know, not the piling up of accolades on top of, you know, having, you know, a pretty decent career to her credit, but it's just, you know, just one all-star appearance is not, you know, maybe not enticing over a whole lot of other candidates that are probably going to be in her way to make it. So,
but I mean, let me pose this question to you then. Mm-hmm. Who has a better chance of making it in or making it in first, Rubio or Hayes? I think I'd say Hayes, if I'm not mistaken.
I mean, I don't know that either one of them have a Hall of Fame chance, to be honest. Rubio would have to be like a Mo Cheeks to make it into the NBA Hall of Fame. And he just didn't have a long enough career and wasn't, you know, a top assist leader like that. I mean, he was a good passer and really good with facilitating the ball, but wasn't, you know, one of the top ever. And, you know, Hayes is consistent and steady. She was for her career. I mean, just one all-star appearance. I mean, I know there's a lot more players out there that at least have, you know, a few, you know, a handful, you know, a few in a championship, you know, seven all-stars or something, no championship, you know, maybe one MVP, five all-stars or something. You know, a small piling that'll just, it'll surpass that. If you got two all-stars, you got a better chance maybe than Tiffany Hayes, depending on what your career did end up like. But, and like I said, maybe I jumped the gun a little bit on that. The Hall of Fame. Maybe there's a Atlanta Dream Ring of Honor or something.
No, absolutely there should be. I would think,
Maybe they retire. No, retire New Jersey. No, they'll only do Angel probably. But still a really good player in Dream history. There you go.
Yes, absolutely.
But continuing on here into our WWE conversation, I want to explore some of the names in the league this year that we think could have a surprise year for 2024. BJ, there were some injuries last year to some players around the league, and there were players last year that were just short of making an all-star team. And I think there's some players out there that are going to come back with a vengeance next year and have a really good season. I mentioned an injured player here first, who I thought was going to have a really great year with her team, but ended up getting injured very early, and it was just after I drafted her in fantasy basketball. But I still won.
And that always the way it happens.
Still won the league anyway. Didn't matter. Anyway, though, Isabel Harrison, coming off her injury for the Sky, I think she's going to be huge. They need some extra play down in that post position anyway. Elizabeth Williams was doing a lot of the legwork last year. You want to have some more help down there than just Elizabeth Williams. And they had some guards out as well, but they'll need Izzy. She improved a lot over the course of the year before she was injured. And at AU, she played extremely well in that first season in Dallas for 2023. So I think she's going to be steady coming back. I mean, I haven't seen, you know, workout videos or anything, but knowing Izzy and the work she puts in, if coach like Bun Chick and her got to hook up again and do some workout, or whoever she's got over in Chicago now, aside from, you know, obviously people on the team who will rebound and work out with her, but, you know, just rehabbing, getting better, I think she'll have a nice little comeback year in 2024. Another player they could probably have a really good year. I mean, a teammate of hers that, I mean, coach, her now former coach, was hoping she would sprout over here with this team, and that's Marina Mabry. Mm-hmm. Marina hasn't gotten a – I'm sitting over here saying former Dallas Wings. This is not on purpose. Marina's always had that ability. I saw it when she was here. I made Curry comparisons to her. She has those moments that – I mean, she's just that type of deadly sniper outside sometimes, especially when that confidence gets rolling. And she fuels off that energy on the court. And when she's going on the court, it's really fun to watch. She's definitely an exciting player to play. And I mean, if they can use her to where she can, you know, use that ability around the perimeter and her dribble ability to step back, get open, you know, get dribble handoff, stop, pop, hit threes, and get on down the floor, and you know, keep things interesting and spicy. Defensively, and just, you know, throughout the course of the game, just being who she is, I think she'll like the Sky could have a really nice sneaky year as a team. Yeah. That's got a whole lot of really nice pieces, no superstar or anything, but just a team that'll be disruptive every time out because they got a whole lot of really good players.
Yeah, a team that complements each other pretty well from the pieces that they've got.
Yeah, for sure. Another one that'll probably have a good year, had a good year last year, and it'll probably just keep building off of it. Because, you know, we've been waiting on her to erupt a little bit, and that's Jordan Canada. Jordan Canada, mm-hmm. over the years, she started out as just a defensive player. That's all she was known for, literally all of it. And, you know, that's all they would use her for in Seattle initially. But she's been able to sprout a little bit, got the jumper going down, having a really good time overseas right now, too. Had a good 2023, didn't make the All-Star team, but has really sprouted in L.A. with the Sparks. And, you know, depending on what she can continue to put together, I mean, she may make something happen and make an all-star. I mean, the Sparks certainly need an all-star guard out there to help things get put together back there because the Sparks have been in limbo for some years now.
Yeah.
Oh, another player in that. I didn't come across this name before, but, I mean, obviously this and her superstar – teammate depend on health with this one, but Shakira Austin mm-hmm. coming into, I believe this would be year three now, year two last year, dealt with the injury bug quite a bit, took her time out, Mystics tried to do things without her, it wasn't as good without her. She's such a potent player on both ends of the floor, and once she's healthy coming into next year, like we hope Elena Deladon is as well, I think she's going to have an explosive, what would be a true sophomore campaign for her, coming out in a technical year three after an injury riddled year two. But Shakira Austin, she's a dynamic player on both ends of the floor. If she was a number one option somewhere, she could be an all-star. Like if she had her own team, like, I don't know. I almost want to see her somewhere else just to see what she could do, but she's a real force, and that's what makes, you know, that's what helps to make the Mystics so special, to having such a young star like that. And you know, she was taken a little bit later, as I say later, I mean she was like 5 to 7 or something like that, but she wasn't the top three or anything like that. The Mystics got a diamond in the rough, and Shakira's just awesome out there.
Absolutely. Yeah,
it's just going to be even better for her. Let's make sure I don't miss a player here. A stellar year for next year.
How about year three for Nelissa Smith? She had a really good year last year in the top 20 in scoring, top 5 in rebounding. But I think this is going to be a year that she's going to step up. You got Aaliyah Boston. You've got another potentially Caitlin Clark coming in. There's going to be a lot of, you know, names that you want to keep an eye on that Indiana team. But don't forget about Nelissa Smith. I feel like, you know, she's not going to have to do it all on her own, but she takes that next step up and improves her play and improves her game even more so. And this is a scary young Indiana team coming into next year with the number one pick that looks like it's going to be Caitlin Clark, at least if she were to go to the draft after her time at Iowa comes to an end. Remains to be seen, but either way, I still think that you could say Nelissa Smith is primed to have a, you know, potentially a big season coming up for the Fever in 2024.
You know who else I think is going to have a big season?
Who's that?
No matter where she ends up, because we obviously probably won't know until after the draft is done. Well, Skylar? Maybe before. Yes, Skylar Diggins-Smith.
I was going to say her too.
Because free agency is going to open up here pretty soon, and players will be able to sign at the beginning of February. So maybe she'll have her landing spot, and that'll dictate what other teams are going to do. But It's funny because I know she was probably thinking about this team, and I believe I mentioned this on the podcast before. But when the Indiana Fever drew, getting that they're going to get the number one pick again, it posted a quote to I don't remember what tweet it was, but it was about Indy getting the number one pick, and Skylar put like that melting emoji face, like quoted the tweet and said that, and see Skylar to Indy. I want her in Indy. I want her in Indy too. I think it would be a nice fit.
I think that'd be a fantastic fit. All the young talent with her as the veteran leader on that team.
Yeah, man. It's well, I don't. Skylar, Caitlin, and Boston, as MJ said,
with emphasis on here. Boss.
Well, I don't think you can't get both. You can't get both. I don't think you can get both. I don't think there's any way that you can sign Skylar in the offseason and still get Caitlin. But if you can. That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's just you probably have to be willing to get rid of an Alyssa Smith, I would think, wouldn't you?
No, I don't know necessarily you got to do that. I don't know though. It just depends. I don't know what Indiana's money looks like. But one of those two, and it probably wouldn't be Skylar. You know, the perennial all star, the point guard, probably move Caitlin over to the two, at least for now, until one of them isn't on the team anymore. I don't know. I don't know, because
that's a good question.
It just makes it even more. Whose team is it? whose team is it? And then Kelsey Mitchell's out there. Well, I don't think that's gonna work. Yeah, I don't know if you can. I don't know, because who's your starting lineup? Kelsey's not big. She can't play the three, and she's not. She doesn't deserve to come off the bench. And Caitlin is the number one pick and coming off the bench. Aaliyah Boston ain't coming off the bench.
No.
Alyssa Smith, she doesn't need to come off the bench.
No.
So, I mean, you'd have to put either Caitlin or Kelsey off the bench. If you got Kelsey Mitchell off the bench, that's nasty. Yeah. That's nasty. But, I mean, if Indiana could make something like that work, get Skylar at the point, Caitlin at the two, don't know who at the three. I'm trying to imagine their lineup right now. Who else?
Maybe they just go three guard as opposed to
some other tall enough guard / forward. Nalissa and Aaliyah, that's pretty nasty if they could make something like that happen. But I feel like it's going to be an either or. Either you take Skylar and trade away that number one pick and give away your chance at your franchise to get back-to-back number one picks, or you go for other pieces in the offseason free agency.
To compliment Caitlin.
And what you have right now in Aaliyah Boston and Nalissa Smith and Kelsey Mitchell. Yeah. Which I think might be easier. Which I think is just maybe go get a 3-and-D player. MJ says 470,000, 259 in cap space.
Okay. According to SportTrack.
I mean, it might be possible, and they'd have. I don't know. Golly, now there's a great Grace Burgers out there in Indiana. That's a nice young piece. Mm-hmm. I don't know if she'd be on the team anymore if you add Skylar and Caitlin to it. I mean, her guard minutes would be gone.
Yeah.
BJ, see if you can pop up the Indiana roster for me so we can check out who else is on this roster to see if that can actually work. But I feel like it's going to be an either-or situation. And you really can't lose either way because you know exactly what you're getting with Skylar. She's dynamic, proven in the league. And you know what you're more than likely getting with Caitlin as the best player in women's college in college basketball.
Almost, yeah, on either side. So here you go from last year's Fever roster, Grace Burgers, you mentioned, Aaliyah Boston, you got Maya Caldwell, you got Emma Cannon, Lexi Hull, Kelsey Mitchell, Victoria Saxton, Nalissa Smith, Victoria Vivians, Christy Wallace, Erica Wheeler, and Amanda Zahui.
Okay. The guard position, Grace Burger would lose her spot on the roster. Lexi Hull might play a whole lot more forward, which wouldn't be bad. She can play forward. She probably doesn't lose her job. But I don't know if Erica Wheeler would end up staying there if you add Skylar Diggins too. But it looks like it looks like it might be possible. But they would have to. Yeah, I mean, you Grace to Seattle. Wherever they want to pick Grace up at once she hits the free agency market. Yeah. But yeah, one of those players would have to not be a point guard anymore. Get it done by committee and let Aaliyah flex after the title. Well, I mean, they're going to have to get it done by committee anyway, because they're going to need a super team level caliber team to make it all the way anyway. Because, I mean, the Liberty is still the Liberty, and the Aces are still the Aces. There are some injuries out there in Las Vegas that I don't know what could be healed, if all the way healed, or take a little while to still heal with Chelsea Gray's foot and Kia Stokes's foot. That's a couple of injuries. And, you know, what percentage Candace Parker's coming back, depending on if she, you know, completely decides to come back, because she said it depended on her health. So we'll just see. But you're still going to need a powerhouse type team. So it's going to have to be a stack up of Boston, you know, Smith, Kelsey Mitchell, you add Caitlin. Then if you add a Skylar to it, then that's a team.
That's what
that you can guarantee is going to make the playoffs and is going to be scary if it's healthy come playoff time. Absolutely. I think that would be really fun. If you can add both Indiana, both.
Go for it. Why not? But spend the money. I guarantee you will make it back and then some in terms of people that want to come out and see that team.
But if
Drew might make the travel, even though he's far away, just to see that team in person.
But if you let Skylar go find another team, you better spend properly in free agency to build around Caitlin. I mean, as much as they've been watching Caitlin for a while, because we know they have, they better be well equipped to put those pieces around there in the proper position. Because come on, you can't draft Caitlin and Aaliyah Boston in back to back years and not be put together enough to make the playoffs. Yeah. It'd be three straight top two picks that would beat out some downswing stuff and not make the playoffs. Come on, that's got to end your streak, right? Come on, right?
I would hope so.
We'll have to see, but. Those are the folks we think are going to be dynamic in 2024, and we'll see who else surprises us along the way.
There's going to be a lot of surprises, I'm sure.
Teams are starting to do some chatter coming up, I believe it is January 9th, BJ. That's on a Tuesday. You can start talking to players, and then they can start inking it in early February. So we're going to have a busy next month or so. Yeah. So we'll be keeping on taps. I'll be popping in from a distance as you're holding it down, and Tripp is popping in over the next few weeks. But that's where we're at right now. And now, ladies and gentlemen, where we're going to is with it or quit it. It's time to play a little game.
Yeah, that's with right.
It, I'm at the helm, ladies and gents, and I got 5 questions for BJ here today.
5 questions.
When he's ready, we're going to get it all to it. Chat, since we're active here today, this time around, feel free to play along and answer the questions with BJ if you guys are unfamiliar, which if you're a listener, you shouldn't be. But if you're unfamiliar, it's a simple game. It's just with it or quit it. You let us know if you're – I'm going to ask 5 questions. You let us know if you're with the question that I'm asking, you're down with that, you're good with it, you agree with it, or if you're going to quit it, you're not down with it, you don't agree with that.
Disgusting.
And you're not with that. Simple rules, right? Pretty simple.
Simple
with
rules?
It, quit it.
Let's do it, Drew.
Let's get to it, BJ. Let's start this thing off. How about it, okay? Starting off with question number 1 from Mr. BJ. BJ, you think that chili dogs are better than regular hot dogs? With it or quit it?
With it, outside of some mild indigestion, I do like chili dogs. I like the added taste and the texture, everything like that. So, and chili cheese especially. But yeah, absolutely with it.
There you go. Yeah, I'm a bit. I like chili cheese dogs as well. I mean, it adds a different element to it instead of the boring old ketchup mustard you're used to all the time. And
relish.
You know, you don't have chili dogs as often as you have regular hot dogs. You'll have regular hot dogs way more often than you'll have chili dogs. So it seems
like
special.
A special treat.
Yeah, yeah, like a treat when you have a chili dog. Like, so delicious. You relish chili dogs a little bit more.
Oh, all right. I see what you did there.
Question number 2 for Mr. BJ. Darvin Ham of the LA Lakers talked about earlier, BJ. Mm-hmm. I don't think we got to the speculation of firing, which I probably should have, but you believe that Darvin Ham, if the Lakers can't get it figured out anyway, gets canned ahead of the All-Star break. With it or quit it?
Oh, before the All-Star break, I'm going to say quit it. I'm going to say no matter how dysfunctional it might be, I think that you're going to
nine.
I think the thing about
18 in the next in what is that 26 games 6 and 18
that 24 yeah
24 games another 3 and 9 stretch.
I mean, I understand where you're coming from, but at the same time, do we not give them a chance to make that second half push and you know go on a playoff run for you know a second straight year coming out of nowhere? I think if anybody's got the talent to do it, if they can figure some things out, it'd be the Lakers. So I'm still going to say quit it. I think if they don't get it figured out, he's gone at the end of the year for sure. But mm-hmm. I think that they're going to give him time. They're going to say, hey, look, if you want to keep your job, we're going to need to see these things. You're going to need to use these rotations or you're going to need to change them up again because what you're doing is not working. And if you don't, well, you're out on your butt. Sayonara. So I'm going to say quit it, but it's definitely one to keep an eye on. I think if he doesn't, you know, if something doesn't change, he's got till the end of the season to figure it out.
And MJ says, keep Hammy. You've got LeBron. That's a good mm-hmm. point. And I couldn't tell you, and I wish I looked into this ahead of time. Shame on me. But with the last time a Lakers coach, if one ever, got canned in midseason.
Well, I don't think there has been. About Phil? Did Phil Jackson retire in the midseason? Is that maybe – I mean, that wouldn't count.
Did.
But that's about the only thing I can think of. Let's see here. Did Frank Vogel get fired midseason?
No, was, he made it through was to at the end. End
of the year. Yeah.
Even David Blatt made it through his season, so as a Cleveland Cavalier coach. So if he didn't get fired, then oh no. Yeah.
I don't but
probably I don't think, not though.
Yeah, I don't
Let's
think
just lean on the that. Side of no. For the sake
yeah, absolutely. Of
but question number three is on the way, BJ, and mm-hmm. about those Indiana Fever again. We've talked about them very recently.
Yeah.
Those Indiana Fever, no matter which way they go, in the offseason and in the draft, because they'll have a good result no matter what, they make the 2024 WNBA playoffs with it or quit it.
Absolutely with it. I'm absolutely with it. I like what they're building. I think that they've got the talent to sneak in. If they get a Skylar Diggins-Smith or if they get Caitlin Clark, I think that right now where they are, they're on the precipice of being that 6, 7, 8 range. They can shoot themselves up to 3 or 4 or 5 in that range. Maybe even, you know, closing in on the top two, depending on how well they mesh together when you add a Skylar Diggins-Smith and or a Caitlin Clark into that rotation. I like what they've got. They've got a lot of good young talent. Remind me of a team that was in Arlington, you know, last season. All the young talent they've got with a good nucleus and, you know, building for years to come. So I like Indiana. I like them to make a playoffs this year. I'm with it.
Okay. I like that, BJ. I think they make it either way, which if they get Caitlin and Skylar, I see them as finally breaking through and making the playoffs.
2024 is the year of optimism, right?
Hey, the year of the Fever.
Maybe.
Jumping in next to question number four for Mr. BJ right here. So I knocked my pen off the desk. You, BJ, are more of a one hand on the wheel guy kind of driver than a two hand. With it or quit it?
It depends on.
No law enforcement are watching this episode right now.
Well, no, it's not that. It depends on what is around me. If there's a whole lot of traffic or if it's like stop and go, I'm more likely to have both hands on the wheel because I will get to the point where I will grip and like, you know, if you've ever seen Planes, Trains, Automobiles, John Candy, you know, and Steve Martin literally had the hand like pulled the fingernails out of the dash because of how close of a call they had against the 218 wheelers. I'm not that bad, but I will, you know, I will make sure I've got firm control in you know, traffic when there's, you know, when I'm not in full control of the people around me just because I don't want to take any chances. But if it's, you know, normal, you know, pace and there's not too many idiots on the roadway, then yeah, I will gladly, you know, drive with one hand. So I don't know how to answer that for sure. I guess I'll just say,
do you drive more with two hands or with one?
I can't tell you. I couldn't, because I don't pay attention. I'll say with it though. I'll say with it. I don't.
So you got in the car today to go to work. What did you drive with? Two hands or one?
For the most part, it was one. Other than certain few times.
Right, then that's your answer. Then one. So,
yeah.
When you get in the car and take off, if you're driving with one hand, that's your.
Well, it's because I was trying to get the map up on the phone and plug it in and everything like that. So, but.
Yeah, but you're probably doing that often, right? Messing with your phone or doing maps or.
Well, I don't try to mess with the phone once I start driving. I will say that.
Fair enough. MJ says one hand as well. I'm one hand as well. I'm big. Yeah, just doing one hand, guy. Yeah. Anyway, since we have finally gotten past that one, we have trekked our way into number five.
BJ, last question. You got one hand for this one, too?
No. Question number five. The person in the passenger seat, as we're over here talking about vehicles and driving and all that, person in the passenger seat is indeed the navigator, BJ. You with it? Or are you going to quit that?
Oh.
No passenger princesses in my car. You better navigate.
I was going to say, it depends on the passenger. There are some passengers I don't want to be navigating because they don't know where the hell they're going.
That's
so
fair.
Let's see here. More often than not, I am okay. Like, unless it's somewhere that I'm not sure where I'm going, and then it will definitely help me out if somebody that does know where they're going is sitting next to me to be the navigator, but they don't have to be if I'm driving. It's not a necessity. So I'll say quit it in most situations.
See, this is the point MJ's that, right and on. That's a great point. Have to not touch your phone.
That's a great point.
When I've got somebody else in the car, I don't want to have to touch my phone as much because one, they're probably low-key judging me. Why are you texting and driving?
You're also taking their life into your hands as well. Yes, not just yours.
Hey, how about you navigate so I don't have to pick the phone up and navigate for myself? I'll do that if I'm by myself because I have to. But while you're in the car, do something useful. Don't just sleep or be on your phone and not help.
Best investment you can get is one of those little sticky things that you can put on your dash. It's a cell phone holder. So you can have the map like kind of off to your side in front of you still. And not obstruct your, you know, side.
I think that is actually worse for me. I've had one up on, what does I have? I think I had one plugged into a vent before that was kind of a big cell phone holder. And I mean, I got a big phone, so it takes up some space just being big. Yeah. But no, I hated, you know, driving and looking over to that. I felt like I was more in control with the phone in my hand and trying to navigate. Because if, like, I was in a weird situation, I could bring it up to, like, wherever I was. If I'm driving one-handed and I'm like... trying to make a UE somewhere. I got the phone right here. Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Weirdly enough, like that is the only time I don't mind having the phone in my hand on a regular basis. But it's a weird thing about having it on one of those clips. I have legitimately tried it before. It's not like I've looked at it and been like, oh, don't do that. I don't want to be one of those guys that puts it on there, you know, on the clip or whatever. No, I did try it for real. And it was out of place. Those phone holder things are distractions. Be safe. Look at him on time.
It hadn't been a distraction for me, at least. That's my experience.
I think it's like right in my view. Like I'm trying to watch the road, and I got to worry about, you know, whatever's popping up on this phone. If I look over to that, like, because if there's a pop up on a phone, it's sitting on my lap. I don't see it. You know. Then by the time I go down to my phone, it's probably a good time to check my phone. You know, it's not something that's alerting me, taking my attention away, and maybe distracting me at the wrong moment. You know, MJ's got the point there. It can be a distraction.
It can absolutely be a distraction. It
doesn't distract BJ. Look at that. He's just one of those guys. He's just built different. That big old phone up there don't mean nothing to him.
And I was going to say, just because I will use my map sometimes does not mean that I'm always looking at my phone either. Most of the time, it's actually in my pocket. If I know where I'm going. If I want to get the GPS out in the morning, it's just to see what the traffic's like and how long it'll take me to get to the office.
See, that's one thing I don't do. I don't have my phone in my pocket when I'm driving. If it's not, I mean, if I'm not, you know, using it or whatever, I'll have it just out and, you know.
Mm-hmm. You know, put it in a cup holder or something like that.
It's just weird to have it in my pocket. If somebody calls, there's no way I'm getting my.
And that's probably for the better, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean, but if I'm at the, if I'm at like a stopping point, or I don't want to have to dig into my pocket. I don't know. It's just, I want to have it out. At least have it sitting in the seat next to me or something.
Yeah, that's fair just point. A thing.
Almost, man, that's weird. I don't even think I have it in my pocket on the passenger side. For one, I'm probably just messing with my phone in general.
But yeah.
Anyways, we drug on this end of this conversation. That's Wither to Quit It here.
And that's the show. You got to cut down on your screen time, man. It sounds like.
I know. No. Especially with this light bar in my eyes. I'm going to go blind.
Man, yeah.
But anyway, nice show in here today. Mm-hmm. A little late night action. Almost got almost an 8 o'clock start here on a late night episode of the Lowdown. Yeah. But
you can blame me for that. Other obligations, unfortunately.
Hopefully it won't be a habit. It's all good. The attendance was nice. MJ participating on Wither Acquitted and throughout the show was a fun one to add the element in here tonight.
Absolutely.
Appreciate everybody hanging out with us. Make sure you guys follow us wherever you get your podcasts. And I mistakenly did not mention this at the beginning of the show. Make sure you follow us on social media at @the_lowdown. That's @THA_lowdown on all those socials you see above us. If you're watching on YouTube, if you're not watching, it's Threads, YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, X, Facebook, and Twitch. Twitch, there's no underscore. Give us a follow on all those platforms and follow us wherever you get your podcast. If you're not already, make sure you're staying locked in with the Lowdown. Rate and review over on those podcast platforms as well. Hit those 5 stars on Apple and Spotify. You can only leave that review on Apple. So leave it if you would.
Please.
That would be so very nice of you. And leave those ratings on both Apple and Spotify if you have those, either or of those platforms. If you have both, give us 5 stars on both. We'll sure take that. If you guys are over there, all those watching on YouTube, make sure you're liking the video here. And if you're not subscribed, hit that subscribe button for us so you can stay locked in. And BJ's got a giveaway running right now. So if you get subscribed, then you can enter right there. Just got to be a subscriber over to our channel on YouTube to be a part of this giveaway. It's been extended now a second time. we'll get that. We'll get back to you. I promise it is going. It's not a fake. We're not just trying to roll people in to talk to you to it. Yeah, MJ talking about the pillows. They're comfy too, but if I didn't cherish them so much, I'd take them on the road with me, but I don't want to ruin them in their white.
I was saying, if I get them dirty,
I'd be furious.
You get one for the road, one to travel with, and another to have.
I need to buy a third one, I guess, to take on the road.
And that'll be the one that's directly behind you every show.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe I might just take one of these. I'm on the road tomorrow. It's a perfect size pillow instead of bringing my big old suckers. Ooh.
You know, this is a great idea.
On the plane too. That'd be a great idea. It's perfect size for real. And I'm not even joking when I say it's super comfy. It's really plush.
Like, absolutely. Yeah.
Anyway, get you one of those Lowdown pillows. Link in the description. I mean, there's no sale right now, but you can still get the gift of free shipping. You can get just a pillow, add it up to $80 and it ships to you for free. How about that? Mm-hmm. Get over there, MJ. You know you want a pillow now.
Get it.
And make sure you guys stay tuned for next week's episode. Back at it. Mr. BJ is holding it down.
I was to say, is it next week or is it the following? Hey, I thought we were. And I know you're not going to be here next week.
I got an earlier time.
Live production meeting almost.
Yeah. No, I am. I take it back. You're right. I am here earlier next week. Well, it depends, actually. It's TBD now because I don't know what time I'm leaving to go to my road games because we're leaving on Thursday next week. So it depends on that. If it's if it's early in the day, I may not be able to push it up at all. It may have to be a different day. We'll have to see. But it is a longer road trip next weekend, so I'll be bouncing from state to state. Going to visit. Oh, no, I take that back. Just a lot of traveling through North Dakota next weekend, not state to state. That's not well, this.
It's technically state to state.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a trip in here where I've got a North Dakota trip and then to Nebraska, or Nebraska, then North Dakota. So it's gotcha. there's a bounce around moment. I thought it was next weekend, but it's not. But I'll take it back. I'll be back next week probably. We'll see. We'll see how it okay. goes. But we'll definitely let you do that. And we'll have get a mix and talk some more college basketball with BJ, and we'll get you updated on that. And we'll have a week 9 of Tripp's Top 10. So make sure you stick in with that, and we'll get you updated on all things college hoops in a couple of weeks. And next week we'll be back with some more NBA and WNBA. And players are going to be talking to teams a little bit next week. We're going to be hearing some rumblings about where some players want to go by the time we talk again. So stick around.
Rumors.
And as always, we love you. We appreciate you. And thank you for tuning in. Get subscribed over on YouTube if you're not, and follow if you're not already. We'll catch you next time for another edition of The Lowdown. See ya.